We're now at a very important level of the BI triangle, and that's the level just above cash flow management, and that's communications management. And I decided that I was going to become an entrepreneur and follow more in my rich dad's footsteps on how to build businesses. I went to my rich dad and I said, what's the next step? What do I have to learn to do next? And he pointed to the communication level of the BI triangle. And he says, you have to learn how to sell. And I went, sell? And I gulped and choked. And what do you mean, sell? And I don't want to sell. I'm not a salesman. And I still remember him saying to me, he says, you have to learn how to handle rejection. He says, if you're going to become an entrepreneur, it's not about selling necessarily. It's about communication. And all great entrepreneurs have the ability to overcome the fear of rejection, the fear of ostracism. And he said to me, there's so many people out there with great products, great services, who have great geniuses, but they can't sell it. And the reason they can't sell it is because inside their guts, they're afraid of ostracism. I said, so the reason I want you to learn how to sell has nothing to do with salesmanship. It has to do with communicating to yourself, being able to overcome your fears, being able to handle rejection, handle objections, and still keep going. And it is a very important skill to learn. He says, everybody sells. You know, a secretary goes in to apply for a job, he or she has to sell, you know, that position. They're selling their services. A teacher has to sell. A preacher has to sell. Great politicians have to sell. He said, it is a skill that is vital if you want to be successful as an entrepreneur and in the world of business. So today I've learned to be good in sales, in marketing, communication. I can go to my investors and raise capital. You know, I've had to go back to my investors and say I've lost their money and ask for more money. You want a sales job? That's a sales job. And all those things have been the best training I could have possibly have gone to. So with me today is one of my best friends in the whole world. We've been friends for 20 years, and we both started off in sales together. I remember having no money because we couldn't sell anything, you know, starving. And finally, we had to sell because we're going to starve if we didn't sell something. So with that is the author of a book, part of Rich Dad's Advisors, is Blair Singer. And it's really a pleasure to have you because Blair has become one of the best trainers in communication. He works with organizations of intercorporate communications as well as communications to the public. So welcome, Blair.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What would you like to say about the subject of sales, selling, or communication?
It's such a huge subject, but listening to what you were just saying, you know, there's an interesting pattern. Almost every great entrepreneur or great business person I've ever met always traces their roots back to sales. And when people say, I don't like sales or sales is not a part of me, I look at them kind of oddly because in order to be successful in the business world, you have to be able to sell. And the truth of it is that in every corporate environment, and I've worked with thousands of companies around the world, the people that do the best within an organization, forget the entrepreneurial situation, people that do the best within an organization have the ability to communicate, to handle objections, to be able to present their points of view so other people can at least understand them.
It's called leadership.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's nothing to be ashamed of about it. I mean, some salespeople have to go out there and simply convince themselves that it's an okay thing to do to even be a salesperson.
Well, that's what I had to do.
Right.
I hit the streets and was pounding on doors and having the door slammed in my face.
Yeah, but see, the beauty of sales is that every single day you're forced to look in the mirror to see who you are.
Right.
It is the best personal development program you can do for yourself.
Right. And so what Blair and I were talking about on the way over here, the real sales job you got to do is on yourself. And I think that's probably one of the best skills I've learned because, you know, there are natural, they call them natural salesmen because they can talk a lot, but sales isn't selling. Sales is really listening and understanding and empathizing and communicating with them. A lot of salespeople just talk and don't listen, and they're not sales.
Exactly. And that was the premise of sales dogs, is that you don't have to be an attack dog to be great at sales. There's all different types. It's how do you communicate? Can you listen? Can you empathize? Can you follow through? Can you dig up the proper information for the proper deal?
Yeah, Blair and I were laughing when we were working on sales dogs. We remembered our earlier days when we were much younger, sitting in a what they call the bullpen or whatever it was, you know, a room of maybe 12 to 18 salespeople. And it really did look like a kennel, you know, because
they're all whining, yipping, moaning.
There was the pit bull, right? And that was, everybody said, well, I wish I was a pit bull. But that's not your style. You know, the pit bull will go out there, bite somebody in the leg, and never let go.
That's it. And that's the way they do it. But then,
there's the golden retriever, right? Customer service.
Yeah, they sit there panting by the telephone, waiting for the customer to love them because they'll do anything for service. And actually, that's a great way to sell too. If that's your style, you can sell more on the back end than you can on the front end. The pit bull opens the door, the retriever sells, continues to sell for days, weeks, and months. And then there's always, in every sales room, there's always the classic poodle.
The poodle.
They look good. They have the $250 neckties. You know, they're looking good. They drive the nice cars.
Yeah.
They don't always have a lot of money, but they're always looking good, and they're the best schmoozers of all.
What are some of the other characters you have in sales dogs?
Well, then in high tech, you find the chihuahua. You know, the chihuahua are sitting
there.
They're the techies. They know all the bits and bytes. Their eyes are bugged out of their heads because they've been up all night researching.
And they overwhelm you with data. Data you've never asked for.
But you can't be put off by their small size because they're probably one of the most tenacious, intense, very effective in sales. And of course, there's the classic basset hound. And the basset hound with the droopy eyes and the droopy ears. And
I've worked so hard for you. Isn't it about time you just bless me with an order?
That's right. And if you're not careful, they'll pull out the pictures of the wife and kids, you know, and say, you got to buy from me. But again, on the flip side of the basset hound, throughout history, basset hounds actually have the best scent. They can sniff a deal where nobody else can sniff one.
And of course, there's always the big dog.
The big dog.
And it's the woman or man who does only the big deals.
That's
and they're
right.
The heavy closers. And they
one-on-one with the top of the house, and they either make it big or they crash big. If you're a sales manager, they're a pain in the butt to deal with because they hardly show up for sales meetings, and they swagger around the place, but you got to have them around.
Because they don't sell anything for 3 months, and suddenly they come in with a big deal.
That's right. Everybody hates them, but inside everybody wants to be one.
Right. So the point that Blair and I were making, as we said, is the most important thing is to be yourself, find your own communication style.
And great careers, great ideas can never get off the ground unless people understand that we all have talents, we all have inborn strengths. And the idea is to find what it is and play to it. You'll have plenty of time in your life to find your weaknesses and to work on them. But if you can find your strength and find out what you're good at and play to that, you can sell anything, basically.
Correct. And it's probably one of the most important skills. Communication affects all things. Really, over the years, I found out what sales really was the ability to communicate with myself, first of all, because we all have fears. We all have doubts. I don't think too many of us like rejection or being told your product's too expensive or I don't like your product or I like somebody else. And the moment I began to understand that, after 2 years of pounding the streets, then my life started to change. I'm still the shy person I am. I'm still very introverted. You know, the difference today, because I decided to listen to the sales pitch of my rich dad to go learn how to sell and communicate with other human beings.
The most powerful thing that you can learn in learning how to sell is how to handle objections. You have to be able to tune into the little voice in your head, to be able to control it, to work with it. And the good news about it, the myth is that some people are good at it and some people are not. Well, that may be true, but it's something you and I both learned because it was not natural for me either. But to learn how to do it, and I couldn't agree with you more, is that the ability to be able to present, but most importantly, the ability to be able to handle negative feedback will change your life. The quality of my life, the quality of my marriage, the quality of my friends is directly proportional to my ability to sometimes stand in the heat, to be able to hear what somebody's trying to tell me, not to take it personally, to be able, as you say, be compassionate, listen, and from my heart, really be willing to serve the other person. But if my brain is switched off because I'm emotionally in terror or fear, I can't hear anything. And I see this in corporate life all the time. I think one of the differences between entrepreneurial life and corporate life is the entrepreneur gets used to the objections and takes them as a challenge. In corporate, people seem to have so much invested that what happens is only the people who have the stronger egos get a chance to move forward. Well, the unfortunate thing about that is there's a lot of people there that have great ideas, that can make a lot of money for the company, that can improve their own plights. And all it takes is a little bit of training, a little bit of conditioning.
Self-discipline.
Self-discipline to learn how to overcome that piece and that everybody can win.